So it is so crazy how the conversation went in this direction, right? Automatically, right off the bat. It wasn't prompt, wasn't anything. This was the direction that the Spirit of the Lord began to already lead us. You know what I'm saying? Because he don't, let me explain something to you. He don't want us to do nothing on our own, okay? He wants to be leading us, right? Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Because we're supposed to lean on him. You understand? In everything we do. We have this little saying that we used to say in school in Jamaica. Nibahanda kiki idaba shukuru usheki dibi araba anda bidaba ayakundu yuru usheki dibi kia. We have another saying we used to say, and it used to be lean. You have to study it in school. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So you don't just go it alone. Always acknowledge the Lord so that you know this is the path that is supposed to be taken. You know what I'm saying? If you can't figure out the path to be taken, go on a fast and let your spirit man take over. Okay? Go on a fast, let your spirit man take over. Because when your flesh is in the way, it's going to create a tug of war between what you should do and what you should not do. But when your spirit man is in, he gets empowered and he's like, okay, I'm making decisions right now because I'm hearing directly from the Lord. All right? So the scripture that the Lord gave me for this year, right, is this scripture. Psalms 24. All right. Psalms 24. And I've given a little prophet to memorize. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. That is a scripture that was given, right? So my example again was me walking into a place and me walking into a place. That place belongs to the Lord. And everybody inside that place belongs to the Lord. Okay, so the earth is the Lord's. So whatever business place I walk into, it belongs to the Lord. And the fullness thereof, anything fullness in that place belongs to the world, entire world, and everything that is inside the world belongs to the Lord. So if I walk into a furniture store, if I walk into a jewelry store, if I walk into a particular store, when I go in there, because it's the Lord's, I'm supposed to find favor in that place. But because of we walk in, first and foremost, a lot of people are intimidated to even go into certain stores. I could tell you the truth. Tema hika da tushki di ba handa ba da tishta da tushki di ba inna kanana miya kasha. They're intimidated to go into store because I used to be intimidated to go into like a Gucci store. I remember I had a thing from K-Vision had given us this coupon for like $500 off at Tiffany's. And I was a little intimidated to go in there and try to purchase anything. And I have something to do purchase with. Because I thought inferior about myself. And if I'm thinking inferior about myself, that means I'm not serving a big God. You understand? Because if I am thinking about myself in an inferior way, that means my God in my mind is also inferior. But if I'm serving a big God do big things. So my interpretation, if I'm meditating on the scriptures, like what he told Joshua, he said, Joshua, if you meditate on this word, both day and night, nobody could stand before you. Nobody could beat you. No one. Why? Because when you meditate on this word, you realize the grandiose of God. You realize that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and the world and everything in it. So the gold is mine, the silver is mine, everything is the Lord's. So who am I now to the Lord? I am a son of the, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. So that means, okay, so I'm an heir to the, So if I'm a heir and my father owned everything, why am I acting in fear? Why am I acting in fear? Why do I accept lack over abundance?
Right.
You understand? If you ever think about yourself, it's easier to accept lack over abundance. It's easier to pray a prayer. It's easier to pray a prayer like this. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, just give me enough money to get by next week.
Right.
It's easier to pray that because it's a lack prayer. But how about, Lord, give me a business that makes $1 million a month that I can take care of my family and feed the whole neighborhood. You understand what I'm saying? It's a different way of thinking, but you cannot think like that until you begin to meditate upon the scripture. Until you start to meditate upon the word of God, that it becomes infused inside of you. I tell you guys all the time, my story, oh, I shifted some things. I went in a basement and I took every scripture because guess what? We have stuff in it, but we don't know what we have. We have this book. People use this same book that we read and we pray from and on and stuff to do witchcraft. This same book. The same book, the Bible, the same book. Because they know there's power inside the book. There's power in
inside
these words.
The word, yes.
Because the word is not dead. God, the word is alive. The Bible is alive. It's not dead. Okay. Okay. So if you could take this word and graft it into your system, what do you think it will do? It's going to begin to change your concept of everything. It's going to reveal things to you that was right before you that you never even noticed was there. Why? Because you didn't have the vision to see it. Why? Because you weren't looking at that situation through God's word. You were looking at it through your flesh. And your flesh going to tell you, nah, let me stay in my lane. But when you look through God's word, it's going to say, oh, no. He came that I may have life and life more abundantly. And if I am not in the abundant life, what is missing? Is it my taught life that is fighting the abundance that the Lord wants to bring into my life? Is it how I view myself, like Pam said earlier? Is it how I've been programmed? And if so, I need to deprogram myself from that thinking.
Amen.
So when I speak out of my mouth, I'm speaking like an oracle of God. The scripture that says what? What did the scripture say? The scripture says, in Corinthians, that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of men what the Lord had prepared for them. So what it's trying to tell you, what has been prepared for you is beyond your level of thinking. The scripture says the Lord can go exceedingly abundantly above, beyond all that you may ask or think. All. So it's beyond your level of thinking. Beyond. So that means that if it's beyond my level of thinking, you know whose level of thinking I got to take on? God's level of thinking. That's how I have to shift. I have to shift from my level of thinking, because my level of thinking is going to keep me locked up in a box, trying to pinch, trying to do this, trying to, you know what I'm saying? Instead of really living this life and living it to the fullest and being free in living this life. Not caught up, not stuck by something trying to tug a war with me, but being truly free. Where just because I don't have something, it doesn't hold me hostage. Just because something might be not be working in my way, that holds me hostage. I had to go in the basement of my house and I took every single scriptures. I've told you guys this, man. I took every scripture that had to do with money. You hear me? We can't be shy. We can't be acting like, you know what I'm saying, we don't need money. We can't be acting like, okay, yo, right, it's a bad thing to need money. No, that's a devil is a liar and the truth is not in it. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Jesus talked money a lot about money. Jesus talked a lot about money. If money was important, Jesus would not pay his taxes.
That's right.
He wouldn't tell Peter, go get the fish. And when you get that fish, pay yours and mine. You understand what I'm trying to say? So you take those scriptures, but people don't do the practice. This is the issue. You want the thing, but you don't create an opportunity for it to come into you. You have to build, you have to fortify. It's like, let me tell you what you do when you take the word and you engraft it into you. Let me tell you what you do, right? You create a chasm like the Grand Canyon. See the spacing in between the Grand Canyon? You create that inside of you. What do you think that space in the Grand Canyon can hold? Immense amount of things. Immense amount of things. But in our thinking and in our limited ability to comprehend what God is saying, a lot of times we limit God because of our thinking. And not just our thinking, but our capacity to receive what he's saying to us. I remember when my spiritual mother came to me and she said to me, she said, "Prophet," she started calling me. She was like, "Prophet, prophet." And I was like, "Who you calling prophet?" Because capacity wise, I'm not thinking myself in that. I'm looking at others. I'm looking at other people. I'm not looking at myself as how God is looking at me. I'm looking at myself and engaging myself gets to other people. When that's not the way it happened. If you look in the Bible, they call them minor prophets and they call them lesser prophets. But guess what their name is? Still prophets. Major and minor prophets. You get what I'm trying to say? They're still prophets. They might just write one little two chapter book or whatever. But they're still called prophet. You know what I'm saying? You can't limit yourself because you feel a particular way. If I go by my feelings, my God. If I went by my feelings, my God. No, you got to go by a knowing. And the only way you know is by knowing him in an intimate way. And the way to get to him, to know him in an intimate way, is one portion of it is to get the word into you. So I did. I went in the basement and I took all the scriptures and I plant them. I paste them up on all the walls. So if I turn my head, I'm looking at the word. If I turn my head to the right, I'm looking at the wall. If I look up in the ceiling, I'm looking at the word. If I'm looking at the floor, I'm looking at the word. That's called radical. You're not allowing anything to control what you want to do when it comes toward God. And I would come downstairs and I would recite every scripture off of the wall before I go to my bed. What do you think going to happen? What do you really think is going to happen? If I'm filling myself with that much of the word that concerned to that thing, I'm going to begin to pull those things to me. I'm going to begin to have a capacity that God can now pour into me because I have made a vessel that is able to hold.
Back. Yeah, back. Yep.
You get what I'm trying to say? Yep. But that is where people go awry. So I'm going to give you the personal example of how people of the world do it. So if you want to be a millionaire, they tell you, go read these books. What do you think you're doing when you're reading those books? You're creating a capacity within you to hold what you want from those books. That's what you're doing, you know. But we have a book and we try to act like, you know, no, this is not something we're supposed to do. No, try it and I see you on the next side and then you come talk to me. Try it. Try it. The Bible just tells me that the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof. Plus, it just told me that eyes did not see, ears did not heard. But because the Spirit of the Lord living inside of me, now the Spirit of the Lord is beginning to tell you the impossible, the supernatural, the miraculous, the no sense making stuff. Because what? It is delight. The delight of the Lord is the prosperity of his people. The Lord delights in the prosperity of his people. He don't delight in his people being broke and being pulled to every which direction. No. But when you get to that space, you have to come to a place where you say, I ain't got nothing to lose. I'm going to try it. I'm going to find every scriptures that have to do with what I'm lacking. And when I'm done with those scriptures, I won't be lacking it anymore. And if I'm not lacking it anymore, that means now the Lord can pour into me as much as I can contain. You understand what I'm saying? And these are things that, like, these preachers, a lot of them, they're doing. They're doing it. This is what they're doing. And it's just what's causing people to sow into them. Because when you realize that this person has that much potential inside of them, and you see the opulence, and you see what they're doing, and, oh yeah, I want some of that. So I'm going to sow into that ground. And when I sow into that ground, some comes back. Because when you sow, you're going to reap. You understand what I'm saying? So if I don't have the capacity, I've got to go to God like that young man in the back and said, oh Lord, because his mama, because she had a hard pregnancy, she gave him a cursed name, Jabez. But
right,
when he went to the Lord didn't even change his name, because the Lord was saying, well, the name that she gave you was the right name, but the wrong interpretation. It was the right name, but the wrong interpretation, because she was saying that you was cursed, but I'm saying you're blessed. And when you begin to pray that prayer, oh Lord, bless me indeed, all you were doing was agreeing and aligning yourself with heaven so that I can do what I said I can do. You understand? So sometimes that's the whole issue with us. It's the same thing when Jacob was born. Jacob was born. They gave him that name. Why? He didn't even do anything yet. He just born, and you're going to give him a name like that? You're going to give him a name, say, Surplanter? And he ain't even born. Being born and there's two babies in the womb is a life and a death matter. So you're going to try to be, who going to try to be staying in the belly? No, you're going to be trying to come out. You understand? So now when the interpretation comes from somebody, that's when we got to go to God and we got to get God to give us a different. No, my name is blessed. My name is blessed. That's how you got to And I walk in the favor and the prosperity of God. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what it looked like. I'm still walking in the favor and the prosperity of God.
That's right. speak that. That's right.
You understand? You got to learn how to come from the womb of your belly and speak what the Spirit is saying, not what you're feeling. Because your flesh is fleeting. And it's going to say everything because all it's trying to do is to survive. But the spirit man inside of you is trying to thrive. The spirit man inside of you is trying to strive, live the abundant life. But the flesh is just trying to survive. So you got to feed it with the things that you want it to become more abundant in. You got to feed it with the word of God that talks about the blessings of the God that make it rich and cause it no sorrow in the name of Stop looking at your circumstance. Stop looking, because that's what the devil is trying to get you to do. He's trying to get you always to be distracted. Look at what I don't have. Look at what I don't have. The question you got to always ask yourself is this: can you use what you don't have? No, you cannot. So you have to use what you got. But what do I have? I have the richness. I have the wealth in the word. So why am I not using the wealth in the word and create the wealth that I want to see in this world? Why am I not using the wealth in the word to create the wealth I want to see in this world? That's what we're supposed to be doing. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. So somebody's owning it, is holding it for me until I come to my senses and know, sorry, bro, that's mine. That belongs to me. How? What you mean? No, it belongs to me. Why? Because God said so. Because God said so. When he was going into, they were going into Canaan, and they were going into the promised land, there were people holding the stuff for them. They were holding the property. They were holding the world for them. But they went in there and they took what belongs to them. Because God said, it's yours. Follow my instruction. It's yours. So when I said you wasn't here, Sheba Tushanda Bibikia Rakasha Anno Oku Sheked Aba Ada Dushipa Atike Putushtapa Atikanda Nakushekedebe Aya Nikosh ni Ada Tote Iki Ore Paputa Ninda Kia Rikishti A Dodobusha Tinakare Ikada Busha Miakaya Kondo Yoroku Shekedebi Ika. You wasn't here, but I had a vision. About three generations, God was letting me see the past of like three generations, right? And in the three generation, they were, each generation was shown on five discs, right? Right? So there's five discs, right? So it showed the person. I remember before you, the last time you got on, I was asking a question, Pam, like, who in your generation God had made a promise to? And we don't know. Yeah. But that person on the bottom was the person that God made a promise to. But it went generation, and the generation didn't know that there was a promise that was made. It went to a next generation, and the generation didn't know that there was a promise made. And it went to a next generation, and the next generation didn't know that there was a promise made. But what was being passed consistently to those generation? The sins of the father is going to go to what? How much generations? But when it comes to the fifth generation, When it comes to the pepatushadabi epatushandabia rapataki kedapu tushanda pikatusha mebati kende ki arabakutu sheki deba anda aya nobo ko sheke de biki arabakatin kende biki a. It's supposed to change. When it comes to the fifth generation, it's supposed to change. So what I say to God, I say, God, can I take all of those generations, all those discs, and make them into one? I said, can you show me how to make them into one? Because what I'm doing when I take all of them and make them into one is you're going to turn, you are going to be that person that is going to be the answer of all the prayers for one generation, two generation, three generation, four generation. Now, fifth generation, you are the answer to all of these prayers and these promises that God was made.
Amen.
That is what I asked God for in the vision. I asked him because it was the craziest thing. I could look at the disc and I could see the past of the person's life. I could see the past and I could look at them. And it's like if I spin it backwards, it goes backwards and show me like rewind back in time. And I'm like, I've never seen anything like this before. But the only reason why you're going to see stuff like that is because you are now breaking away from religiosity and fear and going into a place where God can really show you some stuff now. You understand? Because when God begins to show you stuff out there, listen, I'm telling you, like I was talking about another vision where there was an invasion going on, right? And the invasion was going on. The people that were driving the tank were not humans. They were lizards. And they're red lizards. And they were speaking vile and vulgar. Just anger, just oozing out of them. Just like, I'm going to kill everything and everybody. Just like that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm looking at their faces and I'm saying to myself, how is it possible that I'm looking at this thing? Why, God, all of a sudden now you're showing me this thing? How come you're showing me this thing? So it's telling me that there's another seed upon the earth. There's another seed upon the earth. And because we are unaware of it, we see people talk some stuff sometimes. We're like, yo, what kind of crazy people? I mean, they talk about like lizard people and talk about shapeshifters and talk about all these different things. Sometimes we're like, because we're so fleshly in a certain way, we're no heavenly good. You understand? Because we're no earthly good, and then we're no heavenly good because we can't let God unveil the stuff to us in such a way where it will make sense, because we're not trying to dive into those realms. We're just trying to stay into the realms that we're comfortable with. We're not trying to go beyond that. One of the things that my spiritual mother said to me, she always said to me, she said, you're brave because you go beyond that. Guys, sometimes I pray for people. When I pray for people, I go into a pit. The pit is so black and so dark. If I have any ounce of fear, the enemy will capture me. It gets so, I mean, the darkness, I can't even see my own hand in front of my face. That's how black it is.
Right. Wow.
But I have to go and free that individual. You understand? Hello? Did he cut off? Hello?
No, I have you on mute. Sorry, it's not too.
Oh, I think Pam got dropped.
I think Pammy got kicked off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done the prayers, man. When even just recently, I had to pray for somebody who had cancer, a type of cancer, and I had to go somewhere where I'm not leading myself. It's the Lord that's leading me, and I got to go somewhere, and I've got to open some gates down there. You know what I'm saying? Pitch dark. I mean, pitch. I don't see blackness like that anytime I pray. Like, and I, whenever I pray like that, my hands, I put my hands a particular kind of way. And when they clench together, when I pray like that and I put my hands together, they clench a particular way. You see, when I'm done praying and I come up, I can't even unlock my hands. They're like stuck together. My fingers get locked into place when I do those kind of prayers. And as you go there and unlock people, sometimes people don't even know, because I'm not here to big up myself. I'm here to big up Jesus. I'm being led by him to do whatever I need to do for that individual. Because sometimes we're walking around here, but we're trapped. Some part of us is trapped in a deep, dark pit that the enemy tried to lock away. So he locked up the part of us that if God releases our prosperity come upon us, like, that's why you say weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning, because it's like darkness. He locks it away. Because you know, if you release that part of you. But again, this is the things that I'm trying to show you. God is trying to really like take the body out of this religious insanity, man, that carries no power and no weight in the spirit. No power and no weight in the spirit. You want power? You're going to have to like release yourself to the Lord, and you're going to have to do certain things. And that's when you're going to say to yourself, okay, you know what? I bought this vehicle. Let me see what this vehicle could do. I remember when I just met you guys and I said to you guys, listen, you guys don't even know the depths of your gifts. Because you could become religious with your gift, you know. It's very easy because you listen to the people around you that are saying, oh, yeah. But I don't care about your yeah. No, I want to go deeper in God. I want to go as deep as I could possibly go. And the deeper I go, the more my gift begin to unlock and open up. And I start to recognize, oh my goodness. These are gifts. These are things that I have. Like having Moses' rod. Like having David's slingshot. Like having somebody's, I don't remember who's that, bow and arrow. Somebody see myself shooting arrows in the spirit at the adversary and the people who's sending. You got to like really like just say, God, listen, man, whatever. And if you get to that place, when I say stuff to you like, yo, you know, I find the scriptures in there that. All right. So there's a couple in Jamaica. We went to. I left my jacket there because I wore my jacket one time because there's anointing. I know when I wore it. Shtebahusha mindabihika nandahika huda hikiribikudaba. I left it be hurebekanda ya reki edeba shikanda dado uka shiadabakasha. I left it there because of the anointing, and because I was trying to get them out of a Lodabar place. So I would share with the wife what I did. Not that you have to get followed exactly to the T, but you take stuff from it and apply it to your life and watch God do the rest. They were sitting there trying to have me give them money. But if I give you money, you're going to be always asking me for money. But if I give you something that can get you the money, you ain't going to ask me for no money. You'll be self-sustained in Jesus. What? This thing keep kicking her off.
I know. It always happens to her phone.
Yeah. I don't know. She probably got to turn off the Wi-Fi. If she's in the house, she got to turn off the Wi-Fi quality. Yeah, because if somebody's using or whatever, sometimes it interferes with it. But they wanted, that's what they wanted. But that's not what I want. I turn off your Wi-Fi, Pammy, on your phone.
Is that the problem? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Turn it to Wi-Fi. Because if you're doing it, the phone will switch to Wi-Fi calling, and if there's an interference, like a packet loss, high packet loss, it drops the call.
Yeah.
Okay. So the person wanted that, and I'm like, no. What I'm trying to teach you is that you don't have to worry about that. So I left them, right? I left them. I went to another couple. And when I went to the next couple, this couple wasn't even saved. I went to this other couple. The couple, they saw that we were upset and saw that we were dismayed and stuff like that. And they said the husband did not even understood what he was saying. But he said, if they do not want it, because this is my gift, I don't want to just keep it for myself. I want to share it. I want people to be empowered. I want to be excited when people do breakthroughs in their life, and their lives are changed, and they change their children's lives and stuff like that. I want to see. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see.
But the unsaved couple wanted the anointing.
The husband said, if they don't want it, we'll take it.
They're unsaved.
Exactly. Do you know what it did to their life?
That's where.
Do you know what it did to their life? They live in Canada now. Both of them.
Jesus Christ, right? Because they can take that.
Both of them had no ability to travel. The husband paperwork was confiscated by the police. He was working at a bakery. She was working at her mom's place. They didn't own a house. They didn't own a car. Nothing. You see, from that day? Do you see from, you know, from that day? They owned two houses, two cars. She was the number one seller for one of the bigger finance firms in Jamaica. She even got a job where she wasn't even qualified.
But they believe in Jesus Christ, right?
No? Yes. They they were teetering on the edge because, you know, everybody in Jamaica went through some form of going through God because you went through school. So you have an idea. You have an idea. You know what I'm saying? And this, the husband, his family are preachers. He's the one that was trying to, like, you know, and he's good with the organ. So he plays in the organ sometime at church and stuff like that. But she was the one to nestle this thing. And then the Lord had given me a dream about her daughter, and I didn't even know it was her daughter. Because I saw this girl in the dream, this little girl. And when I saw the little girl in the dream, I said to the Lord, I need to help this little girl. I want to help. How can I help this little girl? I need to help this little girl, because what I saw was this little girl, and she was talking to me nice. And I kept asking her, where's your dad? And she said, my dad died. Right. And I know this little girl, you know, but never knew anything about her background, her family life, nothing. I'm sitting one day and I'm talking to her upstairs of this building, and we're talking, and the anointing comes on me. And I start talking to her, and she said, yeah, my dad had died. And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, so it's you. That little girl right now is a doctor. You hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? She don't have no school, no loans, no none of that thing hanging over her head right now. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is Jesus. Her grandmother, highly spiritual woman. I prophesied to her, just the same. Her grandmother, her great-grandmother, godly people. You understand what I'm saying? The little girl filled with the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? So when I come into contact with people, I could tell a lot of times when your life are going to change. When I come into contact with people, I'm not bragging about this. It's not something for me to brag about me being me. I'm just telling you, I know. I recognize it. Once I come, me and Karen walk into your life, it ain't going to be the same no more. Your life has to go forward. It has to go up. The only way don't go up is unless you hold yourself back like that couple, that religious couple. Because they were the saved ones. And they would not receive us. But the ones who were not saved received us, and their life got catapulted into a whole nother level. They're doing things that there was no dream for it. You hear me? They're doing things right now that there's no dream for it. To the point where God gave them a son that is a prophet. I saw him before he was born in their belly until he became 6 years old. God let me watch him change, watch his facial features change, everything about him change until he got to 6 years old. Because when he's 6 years old, he's going to be activated. And I told him, hey, listen, this is what you got to know. You got a prophet. You guys don't truly understand what it means. Because you guys don't even truly even understand me. And it's very hard to understand prophets because we don't operate like normal folks. We don't follow conventional ways of doing things. That's why people always have a problem with them. The real ones, people always have a problem with them because they're not going to follow your rules or your religiosity. They're not going to follow it. They're going to follow God. And when they're following God, it's going to make you uncomfortable. It's going to make you uncomfortable because you're going to try to figure out in a religious way what they're doing. The guy come to Elijah when Elijah said, listen, this time tomorrow, the guy sitting on the king's arm said, hey, can God make when blah, 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 blah. Can God do that?
Even if the windows of heaven should open, it's not going to happen.
Okay.
Okay.
Elijah
said, it will happen. You will see it, but
you cannot. Why? Because you did not receive the prophet.
Right.
So you can't get a prophet reward if you didn't receive a prophet. Huh?
Right.
How are you going to receive a prophet? If you did not receive the prophet, so you cannot receive a prophet reward.